Welcome to City Club of Eugene's February 1st, 2019 program, Super Sports Spectacular, What Shall We Celebrate? This is the 20th program of our 2018-2019 programming year. I'm Joel Corin, president of City Club. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You can become a member of City Club by going to our website, cityclubofeugene.org. We have both business and in-kind sponsors. Our diamond sponsors are Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the communities we serve. More information at www.kp.org. And the University of Oregon. Since 1876, UO has helped Oregonians question critically, think logically, reason effectively, communicate clearly and creatively, and live ethically. More information at uoregon.edu. And we also have a Sapphire sponsor, Summit Bank. Summit Bank supports the City Club of Eugene. Summit is your local community bank, an independent community bank headquartered in Eugene. Summit Bank serves businesses and professionals in the Eugene, Springfield, and Central Oregon communities. Learn more at sbko.bank. Our program coordinator today, who will introduce the program, is Randy Prince, a member of the program committee.
Thanks, Joel. It's time for the big game. Well, if you're listening on the radio, it's all over. And one team is the American football champion, and another is runner-up. And there are quite a few people who can't wait for the next season to begin and take their places on the couch in front of the television. And there are other professional sports to watch in the meantime, college competitions at a near professional level. And most importantly, a whole lot of regular kids and adults engaging in various sports year-round, hoping to better themselves physically and mentally. So let's take a look today at the connection between these things. From the business of entertaining through athletics at the highest level, what Super Bowl Sunday is all about, to the physical fitness activity of kids playing in local schools and in after-school sports. What do we need more of? What might we have less of? Today we have two very qualified speakers to address this broad topic. Bobby Green has spent 10 years coaching in kids sports, and for 20 years he's served in Lane County Football Officials Association as a member and senior official. In the mid-1970s, he was a student athlete with the Oregon Ducks, where he graduated with a degree in English. He went on to become the first African-American elected to the Eugene City Council, serving from 1988 to 1994. He had the same distinction when he was the North Eugene representative there at the Lane County Board of Commissioners for 5 terms through 2014. He served as presiding officer of both bodies and was also president of the Association of Oregon Counties. And for the last 8 years, he's been with the Oregon Health Authority as their local government issue. Bobby was born in New Orleans and is a fan of that team that woulda, shoulda been there in this Sunday's game. Bev Smith, she's the executive director of Emerald Kids Sports right here in Eugene, Oregon. She's told me a couple times she's honored to appear before the City Club, but we are very honored to have the chance to hear from a player, coach, and leader who has made a difference all over the world. She was here at the University of Oregon in the early 1980s, an All-American at basketball for the Ducks. But then it was on to a dozen years in the Canadian Women's National Basketball Team, the Olympics in Los Angeles and Atlanta, professional basketball in Italy on a team that won a batch of championships, and coaching. After earning a degree in human performance at the U of O, she wrote Canada Basketball's long-term athlete development plan and coached in Italy. She was head women's basketball coach at the University of Oregon for 8 years, during which the Ducks won the NIT, National Invitational Tournament, once and reached the second round of the NCAA tournament. She coached Canada's women's basketball team at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney and was assistant coach most recently for the same team in Rio at the 2016 Olympics. Bev has a lot of thoughts to offer us about how sports can help build a better world. She would like Eugene, Oregon to be a leader and demonstrate how active, healthy kids become active, healthy adults. Bobby, you're up.
Thank you, Randy. I hope everybody can hear me. First of all, thank you to Randy for taking the time to contact me and invite me to this venue. I've always had a passion to talk about sports, and that's part of my upbringing. Also, I want to thank the members of the City Club for allowing me some time to be in front of you on this particular subject. And just as a small housekeeping measures, I served on the Lane County Board of Commissioners from 1994 to 2008, so it'd be hard to get five terms out of that. So it was basically 14 years. And I appreciate that. I mean, give me credit for the days I was there, the ones I wasn't there. Okay? And also, I no longer coach. I did coach at Marist for several years back in the 80s, and had a great experience there working with young people. Because usually the coach is the one that keeps them motivated, but the kids don't really know that they keep the coach motivated too. So you gotta make sure you put all those seeds in the right basket. One more thing, let's just get it on the table. We know who should be in the Super Bowl tomorrow. And for those of you who are listening on the radio, I'm wearing a black and gold New Orleans Saints sweatshirt hoodie with the fleur-de-lis showing. Fleur-de-lis is the flower. Insignia of the logo. So let's just get that out the way. So real quick, we won't spend a lot of time on that, but if someone were to ask me what happened, I would tell them that sometimes the officials get it wrong. Being a football official for 20 years in football, we're trained not to make the game about us, make the game important for the kids or those who are participating. But there's one part of me that just can't get over there. One guy didn't see it, and about 10.5 million people saw it. So I just have to give some leeway to the official, because sometimes things do happen really fast. And that's where I really learned how to be a much better player and a coach. I started learning how the officials see the game. And they see it from a different perspective, because they have to stay within their parameters. You know, to see the guy with the white hat, it's really his game for all the other officials. And so what could have happened in that game, the official in the back judge, he could have took his flag out, threw it down. And then the white hat has the responsibility of running down there and say where he is and say, what do you have? What did you see? And then he would tell him, and if there was someone that had a contradictory perspective, he would have said, well, no, I have this. The official could have picked the flag up and said, we don't have anything. But I don't think he would have got out the stadium if he had done that. So, but anyway, that's as much time I'll spend on that. If you want to talk the next 3 hours, call me. I want to talk to you about an experience, my own personal experience, about goals and expectations. Youth sport, but being a youth involved in the sport, and also education. Because I think if you are a very good student in school, if you really apply yourself, you can be a much better athlete. I've known athletes who come to the University of Oregon and other colleges. All they want to do is go pro. And they realize their dream. They just want to go play professional football. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that. But then, like I tell my youngest son, who is now 34, I said, what are you going to do when all the air goes out the ball? When you no longer can bounce the ball, you no longer can throw the ball, what are you going to do? In his retort, he says, well, I'll put more air in the ball. I say, yeah, but you know, Father Time is undefeated. So at some point in time, you're gonna have to know what you wanna do with the rest of your life. Therefore, get you a very good, solid education so that you'll know not only to become a better person, a better parent, but you can become a better citizen in your life. And right now, my youngest son is over in China working with the Chinese basketball players. And I would have never saw that in his future. But he applied himself, and it made a way for him to do that. And do I worry? Oh yeah, I'm a parent still. But he's got his head on shoulders. He got his head on his shoulders correctly, so I don't have to worry about him too much. But the one thing that I do realize is that when you're working with young kids, it's important to teach the fundamentals, because those fundamentals will transfer, in my opinion, over into life. If you come to practice late every day, what do you think is going to happen when you get your nice job? You're just going to turn that switch on and go to work on time every day? No. You're going to be late, because that's how you practice. You know, if you got a nice, clean uniform when you're playing, you know, and you want to look good. I had a coach at Oregon, and I used to take my shoes, my football shoes, and I put tape on them, you know, so they looked like I had fast feet, you know, white tape, you know. And he said, well, Bobby, why are you doing that? And I told him, I said, look, it makes me feel better to have that. And when I feel better, I play better. And so the fundamentals were everything you learned in kindergarten. You learn to take naps, be kind to each other, all these things, you know, and share. You got to share. So I relate a lot of my own personal experience, not only just in sports, but how it relates to life and how you apply yourself. I also believe when you have goals, you must have goals that are realistic and make them so that you can actually see yourself accomplishing them. Sometimes your goals have to be very, very high, and that's always good. And sometimes you have to get that low-hanging fruit, you know, just so you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And then also you have to have personal goals. You got team goals, you got personal goals. And your personal goals are yours. You don't have to share that with anybody. You know, like, I want to be this person, I want to be the best person, I want to get this many rebounds, I want to get that many touchdowns. Those are personal. But you also have goals that you have to share with your teammates, because that's who's going to help you get to that point. I'll give you an example. I served on the city council for 6 years. You know what my personal goal was? To get through a meeting without arguing with my other colleagues. I didn't always succeed, but we had very robust discussions. And that's the secret of it. What I did learn was that we may disagree, but don't become disagreeable. That's the difference. When you become disagreeable, you stop listening, because it's important for you to pitch your tent, so to speak, and stay in that position. And when I was on the Board of Commission, I had a colleague that was always looking for a way to say no. And I would ask them and say, well, how will you bring us around as your teammates, as your colleagues, to your way of thinking? I might be open to what you're saying, but since you have taken that flexibility from me, I have no choice but to make the best decision possible. Usually, like when pro football teams, they give up on a football player and they talk to the player because they haven't done certain things, they haven't accomplished certain goals. This is a famous phrase. Don't ever forget this, because you're going to read it in the paper. Anytime you see some teams that are separating from a player, in most cases, you know what the language is? Well, we want to thank him for all his time he spent with us, but we're going in a different direction. What does that mean? So you get all excited and say, okay, coach, where are we going? What direction are we going in? You say, no, Bobby. We're going in a different direction. You're not coming. You say, oh, okay, all right. So you just have to remember that. And those are just some things I picked up. Now, when it comes to experience, nothing can prepare you for life, as many of you know, like your own personal experience. So I would say that when you're working with young people and when you're in your job with your colleagues, utilize that experience you bring to the table. Because, see, most of us haven't lived this long without having something of value to offer. And some of us are very lucky to be in positions where we can make decisions that affect other people. So you want to use your experience in that regard. And as you do that, recognize that everyone won't agree. Everyone will not agree, but it's okay. What if everybody agreed that we should just take up a collection to pay the speaker? You're not going to do that. But it's okay. It's okay. Because at the end of the day, what's really important? And you have to determine that for yourself, what's really important to you at the end of the day. I like to think about when I was in public office, and even in my current job right now, at the end of my day, I sit back and I reflect on how many people I was able to help. You know, how many things have I done today that was I was able to resolve, or did I leave it for the next guy? Don't try to do that, because it just piles up on your desk. I also have a policy that I only handle paperwork once. You know, you go to a person's office, you got all this paper sitting up there, and they look at it, then they move it on this side of the desk. I don't do that. I look at the paper, make a decision about it, and that lightens the paper load. And I learned that in college at the university, how to handle the paper load. Because I was on my way to become a secondary teacher, teaching language arts. Funny thing happened on the way to school. City Council had an opening. I got involved in local government, and that was the rest of the story. But what I really had passion for was just to become a high school coach, teach English, work with the kids, teach baseball, and also teach them to become good citizens, because this is their community, and that's the future. I hear people talk all the time, the kids are our future, they're our future. Well, take a look around. How are we treating that future? How are we treating them? And are we giving them the best that we got, or best that we can have? I like to think that we are. But when the focus on sports changes, because sports is a way of life in my life, it changes when it becomes professional. Because now you're accountable at an economic level, okay? You're always accountable in sports because you gotta be accountable to your teammates. But at the economic level, this weekend will be the Super Bowl. By a show of hands, and I know the people on the radio can't see this, but by a show of hands, how many of you have ever attended a live professional football contest? Many of you. Thank you. For the audience, quite a few hands went up. Do you notice how that game is played right in front of you versus how the game is produced on television? Quite a difference, huh? Lots of commercials. It's all about money. And so the commercials we see is really the halftime, not the halftime, it is the timeouts. Those are the timeouts that the teams use, the television use, and they have a big production van, all these people down there pushing buttons and moving cameras here and there. And then you wonder why the game takes so long, because they got to get all these things right. They got somebody that's the production manager, the production, the producer. By the way, the sponsors. Got to have the sponsors, because that's what makes the game go live. And I bring that up only from the standpoint is that I've been in communities where some high schools, some communities, they focus on the economic of the games. And some kids do not get to participate. So they more or less, they're marginalized out of that. And only those who are affluent and have the, how many of you from Texas? One? I bet he knows what I'm talking about. Football is a religion in Texas. I trust me, it's a religion. I mean, you go to the high schools down there, and you look at the stadiums, their largest stadium in high school is sometimes bigger than our stadiums we have here for junior colleges. So it's very important. I say that because when the kids are being trained and geared towards the financial outcome of the game, they lose sight of the most important thing to them within that game, and that's to get better. You want to get better. At least I would encourage them to get better. So when you come into the company of a young person, always encourage them to do their best. You really don't know what kind of day they're having. And that works for adults too. Be nice to people, because you don't know what kind of day they're having. So at that point in time, you just have to make sure that you're doing what you can do. And because I work with people from all walks of life, And I do believe I have the sense to know that sometimes I can't fix what's going on, but I can certainly listen to them. And sometimes people just want you to hear what they have to say, what they've gone through. And just listen. You may not be able to fix it, but just you can listen. And I would say listen to the young people because they actually have quite a bit to say if you gave them the time to say it, and they will. They will tell you. I'll wrap it up by just saying, if you think about sports, there's a lot of politics in sports, called sports politics. Why do you think the bookies in Las Vegas want to know who's hurt, who's not going to play? That's the gambling aspect of it. But they also want to know why this person is on the team and why isn't the guy we paid all the money to, why isn't he playing or she's playing? And that's the politics. Those are the politics, as I see it. So you may walk away from this and say, boy, he has a jaded view. Yeah, I do. I have my own biases. But I believe that some of the things I said, I can bear it out and I can show you factual data on it and show you where some people have not had an opportunity to participate at a high level, at any level. They haven't had a chance for whatever their means or income or whatever it was. They just haven't had the level to do it. And I come from the perspective that everybody should have an opportunity to get a chance to show what they can do. Show me what you can do, and let's find a way to get you be on the team, off the team, whatever. I want to work with you. Now, I will say I worked with a young man some years ago. Oh, many years ago. He's got to be about 35 now. And I knew then that some players were changing. Like rules change. Some players were changing. They had more of a voice. And what I wanted to get out of them as a coach, that's not what they needed. That's not what they needed. I was trying to motivate them, you know, get them going, you know, make sure they are doing the right things. One of the things I didn't like about football is that a coach would come out there and say, hit somebody. I said, who, coach? He just said, hit somebody. Well, you got to give me a plan here. I mean, because if I hit this guy, it's not going to help. Okay. But, you know, point out a guy you want me to hit, I'll do that. And so when we had a conference, we had a conversation about it. I understood things better. That's why we have meetings. Believe it or not, coaches have meetings. The football officials have meetings. Apparently, one of them didn't make it. But I'm not going to talk about that anymore. Okay. So at any rate, I did want to say in closing that it's very important to me as a parent, because I got 3 grandchildren now, as a parent, to more or less pave a way for them so that they can be at their best. And if they're not, you just hold their hand and say, let's go. We can do this together. And I think that's what we should do. We should try to do most things that are good and positive. We should try to do it together. And with that, I'll turn it over to my esteemed colleague over here. I have to share. I told her this the other day. Being on this panel with her, I'm not going to embarrass you. This is my bucket list. I said, that's my bucket list. I've always wanted to share a stage with an All-American. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you for all you do in your community. My name is Bev Smith, and I am today representing 2 organizations and the community of kids in Eugene, and that is Emerald Kid Sports, a nonprofit organization that has been in the community for almost 68 years now, of which Bobby certainly lent his experience to the organization. And it delivers and develops team sport opportunities for children kindergarten through 8th grade, and we do have some high school programs. I'm also a board member of the Eugene Civic Alliance. And the Eugene Civic Alliance is partnering with Kids Sports and our community to resurrect the Civic Park site so that we can provide an opportunity for kids, that's our board, to have a chance to do what Bobby just said, and that is have an opportunity to express themselves physically, emotionally, athletically, and mentally. And so I don't think you could have picked, Randy, congratulations to you, 2 better people to really represent what we have learned, what shaped us, what sculpted us, what brought us here today is that we were both involved in physical activity and team sports, and what shaped us through hard work, teamwork, and discipline is why we're both here today. We both graduated from the University of Oregon as student athletes. We both got our degrees. We played some professional football or basketball in my case, but we also have more than just the air and the ball. We have a lot to give and deliver because of our education and because of the fact that I think we got to where we're at through probably good parenting, but also the experiences that we had on teams. And so the pathway has changed a little bit right now. And Bobby mentioned it and really set up this conversation for me to talk to you a little bit about the fact that, yes, physical activity, physical education, and youth sport opportunities are not as accessible as they once were back in the day. We have systematically removed youth sports from our elementary and middle schools. We still have it in high school. And we have, unfortunately, systematically removed physical education from our schools. And there's been good reason. No Child Left Behind really began to focus on academic side of it and kids being able to answer questions and to pass tests so that we could get them into universities. But what we left out and on the sideline was the fact that we are still cave people. We are still physiologically like our cave relatives, that we are fight or flight. Technology has made our life more sedentary. Technology has made our life maybe less difficult and challenging physically, but it has had some costs and consequences for our children that don't allow them to experience physical education or youth sport activities in a way that we did. And I think helped, I know I can speak for myself, I am a better student because I was an athlete. And as Bobby said, I was a better athlete because I was able to achieve higher outcomes in school. And that's really what we're talking about here. So at KidSports, we have 12,000 in-district registrants that play in our youth sport program. Out of those 12,000, 4,000 of them are on scholarship assistance. And without that scholarship assistance, they would not be able to play a sport with their classmates or their teammates. And because they don't have physical education in their schools, they would not have an opportunity to be active at least two or three times a week. And activity really is, the activity gap, I think, is really what is compounding the achievement gap in schools. And so at KidSports, what we do is our motto is all kids play. We try to get all kids playing on their neighborhood-based teams. And we provide scholarship assistance through the federal free lunch program. If you're eligible for that, your family receives 50% reduction in your registration fee, which is enough to help most families get their kid on a team and get them practicing and being physically active. In Eugene and Springfield right now, the most competitive sport is not the Super Bowl game on Sunday. It's not Churchill versus Sheldon. It's not Springfield versus Willamette. The most competitive sport in our community right now is volunteer coaches like Bobby signing up for practice time for indoor space for those 14,000 children to move and to play and to experience a team sport opportunity away from their tablets, away from their smartphones, away from their video games. Because the competition for kids sports is not another youth sport organization right now. The competition for kids sports and every other youth sport organizations, even the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, is Fortnite, our video games. Because the technology industry has understood children. And when you give children the opportunity to have ownership over that video game and not have someone scream at them when they do it right or admonish them when they do it wrong, they're going to go to the Fortnite game. And so as educators and as teachers and as volunteer coaches, we have to be more creative and innovative to make sure that when kids come and play for this, what Bobby talked about, it's the joy of the game. Many kids are not playing. 1 in 5 children and teenagers in this country does not get the CDC recommended 60 minutes of activity a day. We have 1,300 volunteer coaches. We can't find enough space on our fields and our facilities to allow them to deliver these very important activity programs. And you know, it's not all about winning. In fact, at KidSports, we say sometimes you win and sometimes you learn, and the rest of the time you should be having fun. You should be enjoying the opportunity to become a better athlete and a better person. Because right now, that's the only space where cell phones aren't allowed, when you go on the field and when you go on the floor in our facilities. And it's healthy for kids to actually have to look and talk and find ways to solve conflict. Take it back to the officials. They missed a call. That's what happens in youth sports. That's what happens on the sandlot. So how do you resolve that conflict? How do kids do it? And it might have been a better way for those NFL officials to resolve this conflict. So we have our kids. You thought the goal went in. I didn't think it went in. What did we do? Rock, paper, scissors. It's solved. Because most conflict at that level is pretty arbitrary. And we want to get back to playing. And that's how I learned, was on the field of play, conflict dispute resolution. And if I'm talking to my smartphone doesn't talk back. I control my smartphone and I decide what happens. And so on the fields of play, we have to be more inclusive. Kid Sports has been looking for more field time, more space, which is why we teamed up with Eugene Civic Alliance. Here's what the building that is now being under construction, and if you have a problem with 19th to 24th being closed for the next few weeks, talk to Betty about that, because it's actually the city's problem. And I don't apologize, because those are some of the things that we have to have patience with for progress, because we're going to have a building and a field that is going to allow access to our volunteer coaches and our kids to have more time to be active. And active, healthy kids become active, healthy adults. This is what the field will look like. Many of you have seen this, so I'm just trying to get schematics for the people in the audience. On radio, you will be able to see many of these diagrams at www.eugenecivicalliance.org. You could follow along there. Here's where we're failing our kids. 4J physical education. Kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, they get 10 minutes of some kind of activity a day. Sixth grade, maybe 50 minutes. I think that's per week. Or is it per day? Seventh and eighth grade, zero. And high school, a little bit fewer more minutes. And so the problem with that is, with physical education being taken out of our schools, we notice at Kid Sports, when kids in first, second, third to fifth grade come and want the experience of a team sport opportunity, that team sport opportunity is compromised by the fact that they can't move their bodies competently and confidently. And a lot of kids right now in first and second grade do not want to play basketball. It's a tough game. They don't know how to run properly or stop. They don't know how to jump properly or land. What is the biggest injury in the United States of America now that everyone is talking about? Concussions, right? And we're all trying to build this better helmet, except helmets don't prevent concussions, because it's the brain hitting the skull on the inside. And until someone comes up with a foam being drilled around our brain, it's going to be difficult. Fundamental movement and motor skills will help to reduce, in my opinion, concussions. We need to provide opportunities for our children to be active. And this right here is not getting it done. We don't have enough space. We are minus 13 schools. Every time a school closes, we lose a gym and we lose a facility in which we can help our kids be active. How active are we in Lane County? We need to do better. And therefore, we need to provide infrastructure that will make this accessible, as Bobby talked about, because there's many kids, because of their parents' income, do not have access to physical activity and team sports, because it's become a have and have not. It's pay for play right now in the United States of America. And what it also boils down to is the youth sport industry is now $17 billion a year industry. And so households of $100,000 income and over, their kids are joining youth sports and travel teams in numbers that are off the charts. Below that, we're losing those kids that don't have the money to have a chance to play in a team sport or any kind of physical activity. And we're talking about, when I have my child in fourth grade join the baseball or the softball or the basketball travel team, I can spend up to $150,000 to $200,000 a year getting them to AAU tournaments, using specialized trainers and all kinds of things to get them playing. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if that's what you want your child to do, but research also shows that those kids that are highly active are now leaving sport because they've done too much, too soon, too fast in fourth grade. And parents say, but my kid loves it, Bev. They could play 12 months a year. And I'm like, okay, does your kid like eating pizza for breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Yes. Well, do you let them? No. Why not? Because long term, it's not good for them. They're not mini adults. So we have to find a medium way to keep our kids active, having fun, and enjoying sport for the fact that it helps them to develop to be better athletes. And Bill Byerman said this, if you have a body, you're an athlete. And all kids should have that opportunity to be a better athlete and a better person. The other thing that's really important with play and physical activity is that it actually improves cognition, academic achievement, behavior, and psychosocial functioning. Brain science and brain imaging now shows that our brains have developed, are developing, and will develop with activity. 20 minutes of activity causes the brain to develop in ways that it won't without physical activity. And we've forgotten this important key to our physiology. So 20 minutes of exercise will start the production and the physiological cascade of hormones, the happy hormones in your body, dopamine, serotonin, norepinephrine. And those three happy hormones allow children to experience and focus and function, and it gets the cortisol, which is the stress hormone, very important, but it gets the cortisol out of their brains and allows them to better be able to function when they do get into class after just 20 minutes. 4J has just this year provided a physical education teacher for every elementary school full-time, and I applaud them. I applaud them because kindergarten through five is where we brand our kids, where they are, their window of opportunity is open to physical exercise. And once they feel those happy hormones, you never forget them. They are something that you crave for the rest of your life. And what we're trying to do is making sure that we provide them with that activity. Sports participation and juvenile delinquency also has great ramifications when kids are involved with more sporting opportunities and they're with the team, they are less likely to behave in antisocial ways and more likely to be involved in a positive environment that helps them to become a productive, active, healthy adult. Where are we with Eugene Civic Alliance and our project? This is a little bit dated, but we have begun construction because we need facilities, we need a field, we need to help our schools and our kids and our community be a little bit more active than we currently are. We are currently in construction. We hope to be in the building February 2020, March 2020, so it's happening really fast. There's a lot of work still to do. We are phasing the project, so the first phase, I don't know if that will go back, the first phase will be the field house. Will be the field house, the field, all the parking and the accessories and amenities that will make it functional and accessible. And phase two will be on the west side, a small 2,500 grandstand that we will build in phase two. But phase one, we are currently at $25 million in money raised. And we have about $5 million to raise for the finishing of phase one. So it's not all finished. We still have some work to do, and then obviously phase two will be another capital campaign where we look to build the stadium. This community has been incredible with their support of this project. Many neighborhood activity centers like this in other communities are done with big corporate gifts from AT&T, some of our health insurance companies. This has been mostly done by community support in this community. It's incredibly rewarding to live in this community that cares so much about kids that they're willing to fundraise and provide a site like this that will not only serve children but families but also be a hub for us as a center as the old iconic stadium once was back in the day. So thank you for allowing me to present to you. Thank you to the sponsors that are here that allow us this platform. Thank you, Randy, for inviting Bobby and I. The state of play in this community is healthy, it could be much better, and we're continuing to defend and fight for our marginalized kids, to offer them the activities that our higher economic kids already enjoy and certainly benefit from. So I think there are questions now that we can answer, or you can give us answers. We do that too. Thank you.
Despite the fact that I know many of you want to hear about my stellar high school tennis career, we just don't have the time. So we'll take 5 minutes to break for the tables to work on questions, and then we'll come back with questions for Bobby and Bev. Thank you.
Good evening. You're listening to City Club of Eugene on KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. You can find all City Club of Eugene programs on our website, klcc.org.
Welcome back to the February 1st, 2019 program, Super Sports Spectacular. What shall we celebrate? Before proceeding, I'd like to recognize some of our gold sponsors, Arriving by Bike, AARP of Oregon, Homes for Good, Evans Elder and Brown, and special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, KRVM, Dotson Photography, PacInfo and Simplified LLC Computing. Thanks to public radio station KLCC for airing City Club programs on Monday nights, 6:30, and thank you to Community Television for putting our shows on TV. Thanks also to the Technology Association of Oregon, Palo Alto Software, Nulia, and Pivot Architecture for hosting this week's session of Oh, the Places You Will Go, a course for teachers who want to learn more about the local economy and the work it offers. City Club's partners in this effort with the Eugene and Springfield Chambers of Commerce, Lane Workforce Partnership, and the Lane Education Service District. City Club members can ask a question. All questions must be no longer than 1 minute, or you get the bell. First question, Ruth.
That's a challenge, yeah. Ruth Dimmler. This is my favorite program of the year. I was so thrilled to hear both of you talk about our youth and how they need to be given a chance. And I was wondering, first of all, there's a great basketball game tonight. You forgot to mention that, Beth. Anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I love going to women's basketball at the Knight Arena. But anyway, what is the first step that we can take as a group of citizens to see that we get more funding back into our schools so that we can have sports back in full strength for all our kids to benefit for?
Well, I think we've started a lot on that. The bond that passed with 4J for the improvement of our schools and our structures is a great first step. So thank you to the community for passing that bond. We often need structures to get us organized so that we have places and access. I think just voting and voting for initiatives that talk about keeping kids physically active, trying to find a site like Civic that we can dedicate not necessarily to another business opportunity, but to where kids can go and play and adults can go and recreate as well. I think we're doing a good job with that. I think the Eugene Civic Alliance and our board has really tried to spread that kind of education and information, and as a result, we have people contributing to our capital campaign in an incredible rate, and so we're very appreciative of that. And of course, you can still certainly donate at eugenecivicalliance.org to the capital campaign and helping us to achieve those end lines and those phases completions. But, it just really, Bobby said it best, the future is our youth. And a lot of kids have, families that can get them into places, that can keep them into school, and a lot of families don't. And we really need to work with those marginalized families to make sure that activities and school and everything is accessible to those kids, because When all kids are active and healthy and higher achieving, it lifts our community, and we'll continue to do that.
Next, please.
My name is Sharon Reed, a City Club member since last year. Question was, how are coaches these days being trained to handle overly aggressive spectator parents that sometimes then diminish that fun experience for children?
That's a great question. Like I said, I have three grandkids. I have my 7-year-old, and I have a 15-year-old grandson, two boys, and a little girl, 3 years old, trust me. I went to his soccer game, and this did it for me. The coach had a shirt on where it said, "I coach, they play, you cheer." Because some parents, and there's nobody in this room, of course, will assume that the game is about them. It's they're out there playing. And I've seen where parents get into it with each other. Go on YouTube, you'd be surprised. They're getting into it with each other, talking about this is, you guys didn't do this, and they're getting all into it, getting in each other's face. I said, my goodness, don't they realize this game is for the kids? And the way you handle it, one, you can ignore it, but I'm gonna tell you how I got handled when I was one of those parents. I was actually, my other son was playing, and I was actually at the basketball game. This is before I became an official. And I was giving the referee a hard time. Oh, that was a horrible call. Oh, you must have missed that. And I must have said it about 5 times. So he got tired of me. So he goes up to the coach and say, look, I'm gonna give you a technical if you don't shut that guy up. End the story.
Marilyn?
Hi, I'm Marilyn Milne. Bev, I would like to hear from you because of your perspective, both as a player and a coach in women's sports, more about what you think the current situation is, both at U of O and in the bigger world, but also for the future of women in sports. I'm a big fan of the women's basketball team, the women's softball team. Fans tend to be passionate, but they're money-losing propositions. And yet, since Title IX, we finally do have official recognition that there should be sports for women and girls. What impact can sports have for women and girls? And anything you want to say about the current coaching situation at U of O, I'd love to hear.
Well, certainly, kids sports used to be called Eugene Boys Athletic Association back in the day. In 1972, it changed to the Eugene Sports Program when fathers and mothers finally figured out, man, if this team sport experience and this activity and this social, emotional, mental learning is good for our boys, it has to be good for our girls. And that coincided with Title IX and the legislation that required all federally funded universities open up educational departments for both male and female. And a lot of people don't know that it wasn't just an athletic legislation, it was actually an educational legislation. And in fact, not only did young girls and women start to fill the athletic ranks of universities and high schools, they also, the degrees in law went from 7% then to 49% for women. The degrees in medicine went from 9% to 51%. So it was a veritable educational act. And my opinion is that youth sports and physical activity should be a co-curricular subject across the board in schools because of what it brings that no classroom cannot bring. And therefore, for young girls and women, it is very important. And if you look at research, Forbes just did a survey on research on the number of female CEOs in large businesses throughout the country. 95% of those women will relate a youth sport or a team sport experience that helped them navigate the business world to get as a CEO. So it is critical that they have this opportunity. I coach a fifth grade girls basketball team. There is a Sabrina Ionescu effect going on in this community because they all shoot the three. Like, and they can't even hit the basket from the three, but they see her doing it and they have someone now to emulate. When I was here at Oregon and considered a very good basketball player, I was compared to Larry Bird because there were no females to compare me to. Sabrina can now be compared to me. That is incredible that we have role models that look like us, that act like us, that probably shoot way better than us, but you cannot be what you can't see. And so if we don't have those young women there emulating greatness out on the floor, then we girls don't grow to watch that. And so, you know, across the board, the other thing that grew in Title IX in that legislation is that nursing for males went from about 12% to 50%, because back in the day it was considered a female traditional work. And so it's been good for men and good for women. I can tell you coaching at the collegiate level is very difficult. Those that do it well are very good. You know, hats off to Kelly Graves, hats off to Tara Vonderveer in women's basketball. The current softball program, there's a lot of upheaval. We can't speculate because we have no idea what's going on, but it can't be great for the coaching staff or the young women. And hopefully they're trying to, you know, find staunch the hemorrhaging and find ways to come together and play. But don't underestimate those circumstances and those struggles for these people, because those things, in the long run, make you a little bit stronger and help you get through and get you ready for real life, because those things happen in real life, unfortunately. I told a story the other day, 1984 Olympics, we were playing China for the bronze medal, we lost. Anybody know what the lead medal is? The lead medal's coming in fourth, and that lead medal is heavy. But that lead medal taught our team we weren't ready to win. We needed to prepare more. We needed to be fitter, stronger, smarter. Don't underestimate those struggles that we see our college athletes going through. It's important. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about if there's, you know, overt physical abuse going on, which is not the case in that area, but we've had many examples of that in the last few years with the University of Michigan State and the U.S. Gymnastics, and so we have to be very aware of that. But it's healthy for young women as it is for young men to be involved in youth sport and physical activity.
Mary?
Mary Layton, City Club member. Our table had a question. What are the trends in youth sports participation? Are certain sports on the rise and others going down, and is it different for boys and girls?
That's a great question, because there is a drop in participation across the board in youth sports for both boys and girls. And again, it really is relative to household income. So household income that is $100,000 and higher, we see a lot more people being able to afford the registration fees, the travel, the equipment. Less than that, we see a drop in participation. But at the highest level of income, we also see a drop because kids are doing too much, too soon, too fast. So they're mentally and emotionally getting burnt out, and they're also getting physically hurt. We have ACL injuries happening now prepubescently that we've never had before in the history of mankind or humankind, and surgeons are now having to figure out how do we operate and surgically repair something that we can't drill into the bone because the plate hasn't sealed. And so the other reason that we're losing kids, no physical education in schools, so they're not getting the movement and motor skills that they need to play in youth sports, and they also have the tablets that are much more user-friendly for kids. And so that's probably where we need to make our user sports or our youth sports more user-friendly to our kids.
I'd like to ask a follow-up to that, and this may have to be the last question. Since we're talking about Super Bowl Sunday, is there a major decline in youth football caused by fear of concussion.
I'll give it a shot. I haven't seen the data where we show that there's a huge decline, but I know there's quite a few observations being made, particularly by parents who have grave and real concerns about kids participating in not just football, but any sport, because you can fall and hit your head, you know, and that's therein lies a concussion. But what I do see is that a growing number of parents and kids themselves make alternative choices. I'll give you an example. My oldest son, he's a great physical specimen. He could have played football anytime, but that wasn't his love. That was mine, but I never pressed on him that he had to do it. So we focus on the arts, you know. So he's a prolific musician, and I just found, I said, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. So if it becomes something that they don't want to do, they're not involved in, I think parents need to listen and let them make that choice, but find a way to support them.
Thank you. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Before we thank the speakers, I'd like to advise you that next week's program will bring back many of the past presidents of City Club in the 30 years that there's been a City Club. The program is called Past Presidents Speak, City Club of Eugene, Past, Present, and Future. And we have as speakers Jerry Gatos, Liz Kaywood, Don Kelly, Dan Bryant, Jerry Detelm, Pat Skipper, Marlene Nessery, and I may say a few words myself. There's no program on February 15th, which is President's Day weekend, and more details on all of our programs can be found at cityclubofeugene.org. Now let's thank Bev Smith and Bobby Green for a wonderful program. Thanks a lot. See you next week, folks.